exciting when they're here, because you know they're anointed. They bring an anointing with them all the way from Tulsa. I know they go back a long ways with Mark and Mark. Ty does, playing ball with them and everything. So it's just a great pleasure to have them here today. So if you would, give a big round of applause for Ty and Debbie this morning. Amen.
Thank you, Dusty. Hey, good morning, everyone. Okay. We'll do a little commercial while he's changing and coming. Now, that was about 1% of you. Good morning, everyone. How many, this is your first time to see me? Debbie and I was over here, and we've been coming every year for a lot of years, but in fact, I showed Grace a picture a while ago. She was about this tall, and I had a picture with her, and I told Mark, I said, when all the kids were up here, I thought Parker and Luke and Grace should have all been up there, but I've been coming for a long time, but we looked out over the congregation, I'm like, I don't know most of you, so it's been a long time. It's been a little over a year since we've been here, but I'm so glad to see you this morning. Now, don't hold this against me, but I grew up in Laverne, Oklahoma, and so I'm out from this part of the country, and as Dusty said, Mark and I, Pastor Mark and Mark Ward have all known each other. I did math, and you shouldn't ever do math on stuff like that. But I've known Pastor Mark Haney for 37 years, but I've known Mark Ward for 42 years. So I know we look 29, but we're not anymore. So hey, congratulations. Come on, give it up one more time. That's awesome. So I've known them for a long time and felt like I'm a part of the family here. I've known Dusty and them. We've been coming since about, I think I looked back and it was like 2013 or something like that. So we've been coming for quite a while and love this house. Love your pastors. Can we give it up for Pastors Mark and Jada? Come on, give it up for them. So grateful for them. And I'm grateful also for you, letting them give away. And I think this was a gift of pastor appreciation that they got to go to this conference in Norman. And I want to thank you for that. A lot of people look at ministers or pastors and they say, you guys don't work at all. You only work one day a week. Ministry and pastoring is 24/7, 365, and it is hard. And so thank you for giving them time to get away and get filled back up themselves. And so thank you for that. I know they're going to come back fired up, ready to go. He's already called me like 3 times this morning. So I know he's ready to get back, but we're excited to be here. We do have a resource table, and let me just tell you a little bit about that. And if you've been here before, when I'm here, I call it a resource table because we're not here to sell any product. That is part of how we make our living on the road. But if there's anything back there that would help you and you need, and it's not in your budget, you just come talk to me privately, and I'll buy it for you. Because I believe that much in it. Because how many know the Word of God, get ready, y'all are looking at me and pretty sour, the Word of God will transform your life. That was half of you, all right. Let's try this half. The Word of God will transform your life. Amen. Amen. And you can listen to a message that was recorded in 1956, and the power of God and the anointing of God still be there and on it. And so we believe in resources, and so we put a lot of things on. We've got them on CD, DVD. You younger kids, just Google that later. I now have tried to get up a little bit, and so we're starting to put most of our stuff on USB drives. I had a guy that had a brand new pickup. We were out in Balco, Oklahoma. Has anyone ever heard of Balco, Oklahoma? It's not the end of the earth, but you can see it from there. But we were in Balco, and the guy gets a brand new pickup, and he buys a bunch of CDs, and he comes back in. He goes, I don't have a CD player in that thing. And he goes, they only have USBs. And so I was like, man, we got to start converting. So we're doing that a lot on USBs. But just brought a couple of just to talk about, but we have a whole table full back there. But how many know we need to be renewing our mind on a daily basis? Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that word mind is actually the Greek word nous, which is how I think, how I decide, and even to how I feel. So we would call that our soulish realm, But he says, let the word of God renew you, not just in how you think, our mind, but also every decision we make. Come on, say amen to that. And even to how you feel about things. Because how many know your feelings will get you jacked up? How many could testify to that? But we are to renew those feelings to the word of God. And we did a whole series on that. In fact, I tell people this, and I am biased, I'll tell you right up front, but my wife is probably one of the best teachers on renewing on the mind on the planet. And we go a lot of places for it. And I had her, we team taught this, and we did a whole Victory College. We both teach at Victory College, and we did basically a college course on renewing the mind, and you can get that on a USB drive. I got a brand new one here that we just recorded this summer. And in fact, if you guys, I don't know if any of you guys are going to be able to go, but this is a word that God gave me and Pastor Cody kind of assigned me. But I've been teaching and studying for months and months on the authority of the believer. How many know we've got to know and understand our authority as a believer? Because we have a real enemy out there. And he's not just going to, you got saved, okay, well, I'm done with them now, and I'll let him go. Now, that when you get saved, that's when he really jumps on and starts to try to mess with you. But you have, as a believer in God, you have authority and dominion over him. Thank you for two amens, and one was my wife. You have dominion and authority over the enemy. But you know what? In fact, I tell a story on this. Back in the 1800s, mid-1800s, most time people would travel across the ocean on steamships. And there was a guy that sold everything he had. He heard about the dream of America, and he sold everything he had to buy a ticket to come to America to have a better life. And so he bought that ticket, and he knew it was going to be about, most of the time it was like 10 to 15 days to steam across the Atlantic Ocean. And so he got as much bread and cheese as he could, because it took every bit of money he had just to buy the ticket. And so he gets on the boat, and he's eating his cheese and his bread, and he would watch people go into the dining room and eat these great meals that the ship had, but all he could do is just eat his bread and cheese. And so day after day, in fact, it took a little bit longer. It was like more close to 15 days before they got there, and by that time, his bread was moldy, his cheese was moldy, and he was just barely getting by. Well, they make it into the harbor in New York. And they're disembarking off the boat, and the captain stops him and says, hey, I got a question for you. He said, I saw you every night, and you were eating outside of the dining hall, and you were eating cheese and bread. How come you didn't come into the dining hall? And he goes, oh, well, sir, you don't understand. It took all the money I had just to buy the ticket. I didn't have any money for the dining hall. And the captain says, well, didn't you know the ticket includes the dining hall? And he had not been enjoying what he already had paid for because he didn't know. And that's where a lot of believers are today. They don't understand and know the authority they have, and Satan just messes with them. But you don't have to do that. Take everything that he's already purchased for you. Oh, come on, say amen to that. And use that, because he wants us to. Amen. That's all the commercials. Let's get into it. I about started preaching right there. Are you ready? Let's stand to our feet. Lord, we just thank you for today. This is the day you have made. We will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. And Lord, I just thank you for every person here. I pray that you open our ears to hear, but more importantly, our hearts to receive and to understand what you have for us today. And I pray right now, just remove me from the equation. Lord, think through my mind, speak through my mouth. Let it be your words, not my words. And Lord, I pray that they don't see me, but they see you today. And Lord, that your word that's delivered to us will never return to you void, but it will produce exactly what you sent it. And so, Lord, let it be in our life today. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone agrees, say?
Amen.
All right, slap a high five or two, and then be seated. I didn't see a lot of high fives, but that's all right. Well, I love, and I'm so thankful that Pastor Mark invited me to be here today. I've been to the Harvest, do we call it conference, or what do we call it? harvest time. This is, I think, my third or fourth time to be at harvest time, and I love to come. I call it a conference, but I'm used to conference type stuff, but I love it, and I love what he heard from the Lord for this one being open doors. And prepared my message. He called me sometime back, and I'd been preparing my message, and then the conference starts, and I go back, and I hear Pastor Mark's message, and then I heard Luke's message last week. How many was here? One of those two? Man, they both just knocked it out of the park. I was so proud of both of them, and especially Luke, watching him from about this tall and now up here preaching. It was exciting for me to see that. But none of us three had talked about what we were talking on, but the Holy Spirit kind of already knows, and he's kind of lined those out. And I love Pastor Mark's message that Jesus is the door. Come on, how many of you know he is the door? There's no other way. He says, I am the way, not a way. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. He is the door. And so he teed it off really well with that. And then Luke built right on it and talking about the church at Philadelphia and how once you get born again, now it's about us going out and reaching others for Jesus. Come on, say amen. Barna tells us that less than 3% of born-again believers ever reach anyone else for Jesus. Less than 3%. So we've got some work to do. Come on, how many know? There are people perishing every day. My wife and I got to go this summer to the Ark in North Kentucky. Anyone ever been there? I'm telling you, if you would tell them too. If you haven't been, you go. And it says a theme park, and I thought, okay, this is going to be for kids. No, it was for adults. My wife really wanted to go, so me being the loving husband I am, I said, okay, I'll take it. I really didn't care if I went or not. Man, she couldn't get me out of there. I was just like, I was eating it all up. But there's one painting, and it stretches probably a little bit further from Debbie and I, and it's a painting of the floodwaters sweeping over, taking the buildings and taking people. And then in the corner, there's one woman holding a baby and anguish on her face, and she's reaching up, and a guy's trying to reach down to get her, and they both realize they're both about to perish. And I just stood there, and I stared at that, and I stared at it, and I stared at it. I took a picture, and every pastor I see, I've talked to some big-name pastors. You would know them. And I show them that picture, and I said, man, this wrecked me. It wrecked me because every time before I get up and preach, I want to look at that because there's no time for cutesy sermons anymore. People are dying and perishing, and we've got to be on point, and we've got to be serious about winning people to Jesus because the end times, I've been studying a lot on end times, and we're recording that right now, but in the end times it says, as the days of Noah's were, so will the Son of Man, the coming of the Son of Man be. People are just going to be living life and not even thinking about Jesus, and then all of a sudden it's going to come. And we've got to be on point, winning people to Jesus. Can I hear a great big amen on that one? Amen. So that's where we've led to today. I'm going to take a little bit different focus, and we're going to really start with Revelations chapter 3 as we go into open doors. Revelations chapter 3 verse 7 says, and the angel of the Lord of the church, and I've circled that, say church. Are y'all note takers? At our church, we say note takers or history makers. So if you're not taking notes today, that's okay. Just write this down anyway. But write this down. In fact, in your Bible, it's okay to write in your Bible, whether you're doing electronic or paper. Circle that word church, because who's he talking to? He's talking to us as the church. This is one of the end time churches, but he's talking about this church, Philadelphia, and it's two believers. So they've already walked through the door of Jesus. And now they are in church, and now he's saying, behold, I'm talking to you church people. Come on, do I have any church people in here today? Now, I'm not talking about church of a building. I'm talking about the church, the body of Jesus Christ. And if that's us, then I need to pay attention to what he's saying. He said, and the angel of the church in Philadelphia, right? And if you read this, man, he hits seven churches, and this is the only one that he really has some kind of kind things to say. He said, these things He says, who is holy, who is he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. And then he says this. He says, I know your works. Now, what color are those letters? Red. Who's talking? Jesus, our master. In fact, how many of you know? Well, you probably don't know, but Jesus comes and pops in here on a regular basis. Now, he's at the throne. He's at the right hand. But he visited these seven churches, and he said, I'm watching what you do. And you'll do church a whole lot differently when you know that. You never know when he's sitting in here with you. And he says, I know your works. In other words, I'm watching what you do. I heard someone go, uh-oh. But then he says this, see, I have set before you an open door. Come on, say open door. And no one can shut it. For, and I want you to circle that word. What does that word mean? What word would we say there? Instead of for, we would probably say because. All right? He goes, I've set an open door in front of you because of these three things. In other words, he didn't say this to any of the other churches. This is the only one he said this to. And so they were doing something that created an open door. Oh, get ready to shout. How many know we can position ourselves in a place where God will set an open door in front of us? And we're going to talk about what that means, but we need open doors in front of us. Say amen to that. So why do I have to say amen? Amen means so be it to me. So be it to me. So he set before them an open door that no one can shut, for you have little strength. Now, we're going to talk about that. In fact, you know, in this church, as I was preparing for this, I saw this in this church. They have little strength. Now, you might, well, thanks, Pastor Ty. That's awesome. Now, I want big strength. But this is a dual meaning. We're going to talk about both of these meanings. But part of this meaning is, how many of you have been busy for Jesus for years? See your hands? I can't tell by your faces. And you've been serving God, and you've been doing the work of the ministry. You've been talking to people about him. But how many know you can get a little bit tired of doing that? I thought of Noah, because we went to the ark. And Noah, the Bible, the New Testament said he was a preacher of righteousness, and he preached for 100 years and never got a convert. How many know you'd want to quit after a little while? And I may be talking to someone in here today that you've been trying to reach a family member. You've been trying to reach a loved one. You've been trying to reach a coworker. And it's just like you get a closed door, a closed door, a closed door. He says, I'm about to open a door in front of you. Oh, come on. You have little strength. And God gave me this verse, Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not. I love New King James. It says, let us not. What does that mean? He says, let us not grow weary. Do you know what let us not means? You have a choice in it. You have a choice whether you get weary or not. And a lot of us say, well, you just can't help it. I've just been hard after it. I just get weary of once. No. He wouldn't tell you to not grow weary if you didn't have a choice in it. And so what I'm telling you today is some of you have been striving and going and you're tired. And I saw it. And I saw it on someone up here on stage. I'm not going to identify, but I saw it. But you've just been tired of hitting the wall and you've been tired. But God sent me today to say, hey, don't grow weary. You have a choice. Don't grow weary. Don't quit. Don't give up. Glory. He says, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season. Come on, shout due season. He says, you're going to reap if you don't quit and don't give up. That one more conversation might be that time that you reap the harvest. Come on, how many is believing for some harvest? Come on, we live in an agricultural society out here. We know what harvest is. How many are believing for some harvest? Time's going to pass. You better be believing for something, and you know. Get busy doing something. And he goes, in due season. In due season. Come on, how many know you want it to be in due season? But you're going to reap a harvest if you don't quit and don't give up. And I want to speak this to some of you because you've been afraid to talk to someone at work. And I don't know who this is, but you've been afraid to talk to someone at work, but God's been pulling on your heart. You really need to tell him. And maybe it's someone at school. You really need to tell him. You really need to tell them about Jesus. But you're like, man, I don't think they're going to be ready to receive me. I think they'll make fun of me. And so you've been pulling back from it. But let me tell you this. When you share Jesus with someone, you never, ever, ever fail. You say, well, wait a minute. I've shared it and they didn't receive it. No. You, when you shared Jesus, you did one of three things. You either planted, watered, or reaped the harvest. So every time you share, you're doing one of those three things. And sometimes we get that harvest. But there are other times we need to plant because you can't receive a harvest if you haven't first planted. And then you got to water that seed. And so what I'm telling you is some of you have been wanting to quit and give up, but don't quit because you're planting or you're watering. And soon, oh, come on, Jesus, soon you're going to reap this harvest. But don't grow weary. Your choice. Say, I'm not going to grow weary. So back to Revelations. Back to Revelations chapter 3, he says, I know your works. See, I've set before you this open door that no one can shut. For you have little strength and have kept my word. And, what's that word and, grammatically? Come on, it's a what? Conjunction, junction, what's your... Come on, there were some of you that grew up on Saturday morning right there. What does a conjunction do? Ties two separate things together. All right, so he says, because you've had little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. We're going to focus on these three things today because I want open doors that God sets in front of me. How about you? So I, because of this church, they did these three things. He says, because you did these three things, God has set an open door. Now, they didn't work their way into it. God saw that their heart was there, and he goes, now I'm going to open a door in front of you. There's some of it, you need an open door in front of you right now. And I could put a whole lot of definitions to what that open door is, but you know what I'm talking about. And you need an open door. Well, there's three things we can do that God will always open a door in front of us. How many want to know what that is? Thank you for asking. I was going to tell you anyway, but thank you for asking. Are you ready? So let's go to open doors because what I understood with this is because they did what they did, God opened a door. But how many know you can also do things that close the door? And I wanted to illustrate this. How many remember Samuel in the Bible? Samuel, he was a young boy and he went to stay with Eli, the high priest. Y'all remember that story? We're going to turn there because I want to show you some really interesting things from the Word. How many love the Word of God? Man, I'm passionate about the Word of God. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're going to begin with verse 1, read through about verse 3. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Now, I want you to underline that phrase. The word of the Lord was rare in those days, and look what happened because the word of the Lord was rare. There was no widespread revelation. Come on, how many know you need the word and you need revelation from the word? Let me see your hands. It's not a trick question. Go ahead and get it up, whether you think it or not. You need the word and you need revelation. Because how many know the enemy's got tactics that he's going to try to do, and you need word and you need revelation. Because God will give you word and revelation that you'll circumvent a trap that the enemy has for you. Yes or no? Some of you need a scripture for that. Let me give you one. Thy word is like a lamp unto my feet and a what? A light into my path. Now, how many's ever thought about that? Why in the world did he use two different sources of light there? A lamp and a light. I wished I had it, but if I had one of the clay pot oil lamps like they were talking about there, if I lit that, I would have light, but that light would only go about like this in a circle around me. And he says, thy word is a lamp unto thy feet. And so in other words, that word lights up around my feet to keep me from falling into a hole. But then he says, my word is also a light unto thy path. And so if I had a flashlight, it shines not just around here, but it goes out in front of me and shows me the direction I'm supposed to go. And the Word of God is like that. It keeps me from falling into the traps that the enemy has, but it also gives me direction in my life. And some of you are needing direction in your life, but you've been neglecting the Word. And he says, my Word is the lamp to your feet and a light to your path. And if we're not in the Word, then we're going to be dark. So he's saying here, the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation. Come on, how many know? I don't want to get to that place. Then it says this, and it came to pass at that time while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes began to grow so dim that he could not see, look at verse 3, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord. Now, I've underlined or highlighted two things in this. What was the first one? The word went out. There was no, the word was rare. And then what was the result of that? No widespread revelation. And then what else went out? The lamp. And if you look at Exodus, don't turn there, keep right there where you're at. But Exodus 27, verse 20 says this, and you shall command the children of Israel that they bring out pure oil, pressed oils for light, to cause the lamp to burn. Come on, shout it. These priests were never supposed to let that light go out. They said it's supposed to burn continually. The next verse says, in the tabernacle of meeting outside the veil, which was before the testimony, Aaron and his sons, that's the priests. So we have Eli the high priest, and he's got his two sons, Phinehas and Hophni, and they're tending that. But how many know they let the light, they let the fire go out? And guys, can I get on a box here for just a minute? It's important for us in our own personal lives, and it's important for us, and I'm thankful for a church, and I know Pastor Mark is a man of the word, and he preaches the word, and I'm thankful for that. But we've got a lot of churches out there, and if you just watch YouTube for a while, you'll see it. We got a whole lot of pastors out there that they're not even preaching the word anymore. They're preaching a whole lot of hype, a whole lot of encouragement, but there's nothing of the word. And you know what's going to happen? If we neglect the word, we're not going to have widespread revelation. And what happens is when that happens in our lives, if we neglect the word, then we're in a tailspin. And what eventually happens, we'll let the light go out. Now let me shine a light of what these reference. The word of God. Come on, the word of God, we need the Bible in our lives. How many know when you got born again, you're supposed to read this thing? How many have struggled with it? My hand's up. It's okay. If your hand's not up, I will have an altar call right now because we've probably all struggled with it. But we know we're supposed to read it, but a lot of us struggle with the discipline to do it every day, don't we? And one thing that God showed me that I love, it really helped me because I know as a Christian I'm supposed to read that. But one thing that he showed me is if my wife, my beautiful wife, come on, give it up for Debbie Barker over here. If my wife calls me, I don't answer and go, hello, and she goes, hello, Ty, this is Deborah K. Barker, I am your wife. She never says that. You know what she says? Hi, hon. And I immediately know it's her. I don't even have to look at the picture that pops up. I immediately know it's her. Why? I know her voice. You could blindfold me in this church and all you women talk, and I'm going to be able to pick her voice 100 times out of 100. Why? I've spent time with her. And when we first started dating, man, I looked for time to spend with her. Still do. But I didn't struggle to spend time with her. I wanted to spend time with her. Why? I wanted to get to know her. And a result of getting to know her is I got to know her voice. And so I read this thing from Genesis to Maps. Some of you will get that later. All right. In the Bible, there's Maps. No, okay. I've read this thing from cover to cover. And you know what? There's not one verse in here that says, Ty Barker, thou shalt leave the full-time. I worked in the corporate world for 23 years. It says, there's no verse that says you shall leave the corporate world after 23 years and enter the full-time ministry. Not one verse that says that. But how did I know I was supposed to do it? Because I'd spent time in his word, and I got to know his voice. So when he spoke it to me, I was like, God, is that you? No, I knew it was him. Just like if she said something, I wouldn't have to question, is that my wife? No, I know it's her. Why? I know her voice. Some of you are struggling spending time in the word, but Jesus said it like this. This is like our daily bread. You can tell I don't struggle to miss many meals. I ate at Simon's Catch last night. Come on, Jesus. Whew, there's an anointing on those hush puppies. I don't miss many meals. Why? It sustains me. Oh, come on. This sustains you. It gives you revelation. It tells you things to come. But if you're not spending time in it, it's there. It's like the guy on the boat. It was there all along, but you didn't receive what he had for you with it. So Aaron and his sons were supposed to tend this. So the priests were supposed to tend this, but they let it out. Now let me tell you what this is. The word of God is just like it says. And when we're in the word, we get widespread revelation. But then what else went out? Come on, someone say the fire went out. It was supposed to burn how long? Continually. Do you know what the fire represents? The Holy Spirit. They allowed the Holy Spirit to go out. When there's no word, the Holy Spirit can't camp out there because he camps out waiting for the word to perform it. But if you lose the word, you lose the Spirit wanting to manifest in your life. Come on, there's some life teachings right here in an Old Testament story. They allowed the Holy Spirit to go out. Let me ask you this question. I know it's not in this house, but can we get to a point that we do church without the word and without the Holy Spirit? We can. We sure can. And I've been to some churches that have. That they watered down the word because they don't want to, you know, make the sinners mad in their congregation. I was at a conference one time, and this pastor began to preach on this, something close to this, and he said, yeah. He said, people water down the word because they got to keep all their sinners happy. Man, no. We've got to be implanted in this word of God. We got to have the fire of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us because why? We're coming to the end of time, and we've got to be on target and on point bringing people into the kingdom of God. Come on, say amen to that. Verse 12, now the sons of Eli were corrupt. In fact, the NIV says they were scoundrels. They were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. And the priest's custom, the people, would, when the man offered sacrifice, the priest's servants would come with a three-pronged flesh hook in his hand, and the meat was boiling. Come on, say boiling. Now, verse 14, then they would thrust it into a pan of the kettle of the cauldron or the pot, and the priest would take for himself all the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Verse 15, also before they burned the fat, the priest's servants would come and say to the man that sacrificed, give us meat for roasting. Say roasting. To the priest, for they will not take boiled meat. Now, this is really weird. But I had to go back and study and say, okay, that doesn't make sense to me. What does that mean? The priests were never supposed to take roasted meat. That was only for God. That was sacrifices to God. They were only supposed to eat the boiled meat. And they put this three-pronged fork in there, and when they jabbed it, whatever came out was their portion. But these guys wanted more. And they didn't want what they were supposed to eat. They wanted God's portion. Ooh. They were scoundrels, but they were priests working in the synagogue. Can we get to a place that even us as Christians get to a place where we're so far away from the word, so far away from the Holy Spirit, that we start to profane things that are not supposed to be ours? This one shakes me to my core. I never want to get to that place. I want to keep the word priority. I want to keep the Holy Spirit burning hot in my life. Why? There's people out there on the other side of my obedience that are going to end up in the kingdom of heaven. Come on, how many of you remember when you got saved? Aren't you thankful for someone coming across that chasm to reach you and bring you up out of that? Well, we've got to be that. But to do that, I've got to keep the word priority, and I've got to keep the Holy Spirit. How many's ever been just walking down the street or at Walmart or something, and the Holy Spirit say, hey, go talk to that person? And you're like, are you out of your mind right now? That person going to mace me or something. And Tulsa, you got to be careful with that stuff. But when I'm hearing him, what I've got to realize is he's already been preparing their hearts. And due season is right now. But I've also been too busy, too consumed with my own self. And I heard that small voice, but I just said, I don't have time. And I could lose someone to eternity that way. I'm not here to beat us up today, but I am here to light a fire under you to say, hey, we've got to keep the word priority, and we got to keep that Holy Spirit burning hot, because when he speaks, all you have to do is say, yes, Lord, I'm quick to hear, I'm quick to obey, because if I do that, I'm going to walk right through an open door that, come on, Jesus. He's got open doors right in front of me if I'll just be diligent. Where'd I leave off? Verse 15. Look at 16. If the man said to him, they should really burn the fat first, then they may take as much as the heart desires, they would answer him, no, but give it to me now. And if not, I'll take it by force. Verse 17. Therefore, the sin of these young men was very great before the Lord, for the men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Guys, I'm telling you, this one shook me. Because they were doing, air quotes, they were doing church. They were doing church. But the widespread revelation had already gone. The Holy Spirit had already gone. And they were just going through the motions. And I want you to just stop and say, okay, that's a church and priests, but could that also apply to my life? Am I just going through the motions? You know what? I'm thankful for every one of you that are here this morning. You know, it'd be really boring if I was preaching to just my wife and me. So I'm thankful you're here. But do you get to a place every once in a while where you just come through the doors out of habit? Do you just go through the motions and sometimes not think about why we're here? Amen. Good preaching. I amen myself every once in a while. Let's not just do church. Let's be the church. I love that. Let's be the church. Oh, come on. Well, we better get going. I told Pastor Mark I'd be done way before 3 o'clock, so I'm just teasing. Somebody, but oh, I'm out of here. All right. Hold the door, Dusty. Hold the door back there. All right. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 3. I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door that no one can shut because, come on, shout because you have little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Come on, we're getting ready to jump into this little strength. I told you there was really a dual meaning, and sometimes it's when we grow weary and are doing good. But really what it's really talking about is that our faith isn't as good as it, or big as it's supposed to be. Come on, how many need to grow in faith? If your hand's not up, get it up. We all need to. I teach faith at college, at our Bible college. I teach foundations of faith. But every day I teach, I'm expecting to grow more. Romans 10, 17. Come on, someone tell me what that says for 1,000 bonus points. Faith comes by. There, I knew you knew it. Faith comes by what? Hearing and by hearing and by hearing and by hearing the Word of God. That's why we have resources back there, so you can hear the Word of God over and over again. Man, you guys have to drive a long way. I told Dusty, I said, man, you guys moved Leedy on me because it took a lot longer to get here than it used to. But there's a lot of time that we're driving, but I'm not just listening to something that's not going to produce in me. I need to get the Word of God that's producing life on the inside. All the old people said, amen. And so I'm trying to get the Word of God because I've got to grow in God, because the things I'm going to face today, if I try to face them with yesterday's faith, it's not going to get me there. I've got to grow and I've got to expand my faith because He's going to lead me through an open door. Come on, follow me. He's leading me through an open door, and what's going to take to get me through that door is bigger faith than what got me up to the door. Let's turn over to... I had this verse for you. This is a great verse. Just write this in your notes. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Back to that other one. Now we're talking about some faith. Come on. Go to Joshua chapter 6. I've got to hurry here. Go to Joshua chapter 6. Now, most of you know this story, so I may not read all of it. I remember when the children of Israel were coming in, and what was the first city they went to? Jericho. All right, so they're coming to Jericho. Open screen test. You should have got that. All right. Now, Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel, and none went out. Come on, say none went out. And none came in. So the walls were shut up. The gates were shut up. In fact, if you look at a cross section of the wall, that's what it would look like. And see down here, you can't see it. It's pretty dark. But down where that red arrow is pointing is men. And this wall would have been about 47 to 50 some foot tall. And so they're looking up, and they're looking at a 50-foot wall right here. And there's even earth in between it. And so it's really a daunting thing. And I'm telling you, not just a little bit of wind's going to blow that over, because it's two stone walls built in between earth. They did some good storm protection right here. In fact, if you looked at the whole city, there was even in the walls, they even had houses and stuff in there. And both of the walls, the outer one and the inner one, were big enough to drive two chariots on them at the same time. So these are huge walls and a huge city. And the children of Israel are coming up to it. And what does God tell them? He says, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given you Jericho into your hand and its kings and its mighty men of valor. You shall march around the wall how many times? You shall march around one time a day for how many days? 6 days. Man, how many, glad you weren't on that military campaign. In fact, Joshua gave them I'm not going to cover this today, but Joshua gave them a decree that God didn't tell him to do. He said, I don't want you to say a word, because he already had seen this happen once where they were coming in the promised land and people's griping, complaining voices kept them from going in. So he said, I don't want you to say a word, because I would have been out there going, march around the city. What in the world is this going to do? Did you see that wall? Come on, how many would have been there with me? Y'all are looking at me like I'm judging me right now. We had all been like, march around the wall? Come on, God. One time a day for 6 days, and then how many times the seventh day? Seven times the seventh day. So he's got a plan. Come on, say, God's got a plan. And the priest shall bear the trumpets of the ram's horn and the ark, and they shall go around. And so I've already told you part of the story, so let me get back to verse 2, because there's a key right here that I want you to get. And what we're talking about here, back from Revelation chapter 3, he said, you've had little strength. In other words, you need to grow in some faith. Come on, say, grow in faith. Tap your neighbor and say, grow in faith right now. Joshua 6:2 says this, and the Lord said to Joshua, see? Come on, say, see. See. He's telling him, see? And then he says this, I have given. What tense is that? That's past tense. But do you know, if Joshua is looking and God said, see, I've already given you the city. If Joshua looks over at the city, you know what he sees? Walls still up, still strong, no one going out and no one coming in, and nothing has changed. But God says, see, I've already given it to you. So he's teaching them a principle. Stop looking with your natural eyes and begin to look with your spirit eyes. Because in the natural, a lot of us are looking at stuff that are impossible. And if you get caught looking at the natural, you're never going to walk in the open door that he wants for you to walk in. So he says you've got to see it, not with these things, but with your heart. See it with your spirit, man. See, I've already given it to you. But a lot of you are looking at the natural and say, God, nothing's changed. See, I've already healed your body. Yeah, but Lord, I hurt worse today than I did yesterday. See, I've already provided for you. But God, my checking account is empty. And he's saying, hey, stop looking at the natural. Begin to look at it with the spirit eyes because I've already given it to you. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. We've got to grow to a place where we quit looking at the natural. And we start to see, if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And I'm not going to consider anything else. I'm not going to look at my circumstances in the natural because they may scare me. I'm going to start to look with my spirit eyes. God was teaching us a principle right here. He says, hey, to walk through the open doors I have for you, you're going to have to start to see it a different way. Glory to God. See, I've given you Jericho into your hand. It's king and it's mighty men of valor. You've got to see these open doors in a different way. Oh, glory. And the last thing he says, they haven't denied my name. Just one verse right here, Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, 13, a couple verses here. He says, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Now, this is a prophetic chapter, and it's talking about the end times. And how many know we're in the end times? So Jesus, these are red letters, Jesus is telling us what the end times are going to look like. And let me tell you what that just says, because that's some pretty poetic stuff right there. And that's not how we talk in Leedy, Oklahoma. He says, and because lawlessness, what's lawlessness? Breaking every commandment, every law. In fact, it's getting to a place in our society that no rules apply. It's however you feel, that's what's good to you. We're getting to a place where the Supreme Court gets to decide what's right for you and what's not right for you. Come on. How many know we got a higher court? And he's saying, because lawlessness will abound. And so, in other words, in the last days, we're going to get to a place that even in the church, there's going to be lawlessness. I've never seen as much lately as I have ever, where mighty, mighty pastors that were reaching thousands of people, and all of a sudden they get exposed for what's happening in their personal life. And they're living one way from the pulpit and another way from private, and that's lawlessness. And you know what this says? Because lawlessness will abound, the love, say love. There's four types of love. This is agape love, meaning the God kind of love, only love you get as a saved people. He says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of Christians will grow cold. They won't walk through the open doors they're supposed to. Because they've turned their back on the word, they've turned their back on the revelation, they've turned their back on the Holy Spirit. And they're living how they want to live. And he says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But I got good news. Come on, say, I need some good news after that one. But he who endures to the end. I'm talking to some people that are going to endure to the end. You're not going to let your love walk with God, your time in the Word, your time with the Spirit, you're not going to let it go. You're going to stay on fire with it, and he's going to show you things to come. He's going to give you revelation. He's going to bring you to open doors that you never believed you could walk through, and he's going to do it in a great and mighty way. And from this house, we're going to touch this earth. And I came in and I saw that. You're now entering the mission field. You're here for one purpose, Ephesians 4:12, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. This church at Philadelphia was a mission church. This church in Leedy, Oklahoma, Harvest Fellowship, is a mission church. And it's not about just us four and no more. I see the day that you need multiple services in this place. I see the day people are driving beyond Elk City to come to Leedy, Oklahoma to hear the word of God. Come on, agree with that. Because it's not just about us. Pastor, if it gets that big, you know what? We'll lose this person. Hey, get over yourself. There's people dying and going to hell, and we're worried about personal time. See, I've set before you an open door. But if we lose the word, and we lose the Holy Spirit, and we don't have the faith to walk through it, we're going to miss the open door that he put before us. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you set before us open doors. We didn't open it. You set before us an open door. And I say, I thank you that you see in us a tenacity for the word of God. A hunger for the word of God. And I'm going to start right there. We're going to do an altar call here today. And I see that there's some of you that you haven't been giving adequate time. I'm not saying you don't ever read it, but you are the only one that know this. You haven't been given an adequate time in the word. You've allowed busyness. You've allowed things to come before it. And you said today, the Holy Spirit just prompted you, hey, it's time to step up our word game. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, if I'm talking to you, and you need to really up your word game, I just want you to raise your hand. Hands are already going up. Yeah, almost everyone. Praise God. And there's some of you, and maybe even you're new to Christianity and you're new to the Holy Spirit, but you really have lost the fire of the Holy Spirit. And you say, I need to get that back. Yeah, hands are already going up on that one. If that's you, come on, lift your hand. Yeah. There's some of you that you really need to grow in faith. You've allowed what people think. You're kind of a, like I was growing up, you're a people pleaser. You care more about what people think than you do what God thinks. And you've stopped from ministering something because, well, what will they think of me? What will they say? And here's a problem I've had in my life. I want you to look up at me for a second. We're going to go back, eyes closed. But here's a problem I've had in my life. You know, growing up in a community like this or at Laverne, everyone knows you. They know what you've done. And that stops a lot of people. Well, you know, they're going to just, they know what I've done in my life. They're not going to listen to me. Hey, that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. You're the one that they'll listen to the most. Man, I have to go back to my hometown and reintroduce myself because I'm not the same guy that graduated from there. I'm a whole different guy. And people are going, man, Ty, what happened to you? And I say, let me introduce you to my great big God. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Some of you have allowed your past to disqualify you from walking through a door. You haven't shared the love of God because, well, what will they think? Who cares what they think? If I'm talking to you, raise your hand. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Most people raising their hand are really good Christians. I know them. And then God showed me this, and I wrote these three things down. He set before you open doors of healing. There's some of you that need healing in your body. Sometimes it's physical body, but maybe it's even emotions. But you need healing in your body. I want to see your hands right now. Right? Okay, bunch. There's some of you that need provision in your life. And he set before you an open door of provision. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. That's a little tougher sometimes because we don't want people to know. Hey, it's okay. We've all been there in our lives. Yeah, lots of hands. And the last one, you need a harvest with family members or loved ones or coworkers. If that's you, come on. Woo, glory to God. Look up at me. I kind of set that up and I didn't know it till just then, but that caught almost every one of us. So here's what we're going to do. I want you to stand to your feet. Ah, come on, Jesus. I'm not going to be like the guys I just preached about. If the Holy Spirit says do it, I'm going to do it. Part of stepping out in faith is you need to step out of where you are. Now, we're going to do that in the natural, but you're going to do that spiritually in every aspect. And if you raised your hand on any of these or you know you should have raised your hand, I know we're a little bit over, but that's cool. The roast is going to be fine. If you raised your hand or you know you should have raised your hand, I want you to quickly get out of your seats and I want you to come up here, just stand. We're not going to kneel down. Just stand facing the stage. I'm going to pray over you, but I believe you got to step out of that place that you're in to step into the open door that he has for you. Come on, give it up for him as they're coming. Come on, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. That's almost everyone here. No one's clapping because we're all coming. All right. Hallelujah. Come on, come close. Just come close. There's no way I can lay hands on all of you. I'm going to try to lay hands on some of you. Glory to God. Lord, I thank you that you set the open door before this church and for us individually. And Father, I just pray over those that need to dedicate and discipline for more word time. Lord, you're going to show them how to do it. You're going to show them individually how to do it. And Lord, I thank you that as we take that step, and it starts today, but as you take that step, his grace comes on you to help you do what was normally impossible to do. So Lord, I thank you for it right now, that you're gracing us, you're anointing us, and it's going to bring life change. And Father, I thank you for it. Lord, I thank you for a stirring of the Holy Spirit in this place today. Holy Spirit, you do what you want to do in this house. Set on fire these people. A fire that cannot be quenched, that we will not let go out. Some of you have let that Holy Spirit fire go out on the inside of you. It's time to rekindle it. You quit doing it out of habit, quit doing it out of memory, and have a fresh firing of the Holy Spirit right now. And Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you for it. Now, Lord, I loose the healing power of God. Now, if you need healing in your body, just lift your hands right where you're at. Healing physically, emotionally, whatever it is. If you need healing, raise your hand. Lord, you see every hand, and I loose the healing power of God in this house right now, from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. I thank you, Lord, that the healing power of God floods them. And Father, I thank you that no weapon formed against them will prosper, that every tongue that rises against them shall be condemned. And I thank you, Lord, that the healing power of God, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, is being loosed into them right now. And I thank you for it. Physically, emotionally, mentally. Father, I pray for healing where there's been hurts and wounds. And I thank you, Lord, that as we receive that healing, as we walk in that healing, we'll never be the same. And we're going to carry that same healing power through that open door to others that need it. And Father, I thank you for it right now. Lord, I thank you for full provision. Lord, I thank you that you supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory, not our riches, your riches and glory, by and through Christ Jesus. And I loose right now, I loosen you individually, I loosen this house, I loosen this community, full provision, financial provision in Jesus' name. What the enemy has been hindering, I command it to be loosed now in Jesus' name. Now, I speak this prophetically. Come on, get ready to receive this. I got a prophetic word for this house and for you individually. You will have more than enough to do everything God's called you to do. And I loose that over this Harvest Fellowship Church, but I loose it over you individually. Some of you have dreams and visions that God has given you, and you've yet to walk into them, and it's about to be loosed in your life. And if you obey, he's going to shake loose the provision you need. Hallelujah. Now, Father, I thank you for a harvest of souls in our families, in our loved ones, in our coworkers, in our neighbors, the little hellion neighbors. Lord, get them saved. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, use us. Use us. And I want to just speak this verse over you one more time. Jesus today is saying, I know your works. Harvest. I've set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, because you have strength of faith rising on the inside of you, and you have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. And I thank you for it right now in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone agrees, say amen, 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 amen. God bless you. Dusty, you're right there.
Yes. Amen. Did you learn something today? I'm wondering, did you learn something today? Amen. You know, I'm so thankful for guys like Pastor Ty, Pastor Mark, Mark Ward, so many people like that who've helped me to walk through that open door that God's placed before me. So walk through that open door. It's good. Amen. It was a great word, Ty. We appreciate it so much, brother. So if you would, stand with me. We'll pray and we'll be done for today. We'll speak the priestly blessing over you. It's in Numbers chapter 6, starting in verse 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Have a blessed and wonderful week.